Ignition sequence start. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Liftoff.
Check, 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 check. I literally just create madness.
Boiler up.
I'm going to go off here.
They don't have a great quarterback.
I got to take a break. I'm getting in trouble.
To win the Big Ten, you first got to win the West.
Bad Bunny.
Have you heard his name in a while?
No.
Has it bothered you?
No.
Defensively, they got to come in with some confidence.
Is that even analytics?
I am in a parking garage. It's kind of lost.
Terrence Shannon, Matthew Meyer, RJ Melendez, Coleman Hawkins.
These trophy presentations aren't over.
I didn't come here to go 5-7.
I'm so proud of Illinois football right now.
I'm so tired of Joel Embiid.
We're not taking Patrick Corbin.
I want to bet the Bears.
Oh.
You are Reba McEntire's niece.
Roshan Russell.
Coach Bielma.
You no longer
you're a fluke yourself.
What? We got all kinds of things for you here.
There's a lot of glass.
Oh.
Guys, we have breaking news.
Uh-oh.
It's the drive.
Schmack dogs!
Thunderstruck!
Hello, hello.
Oh, here we go.
Hey, what's up? It's the Drive with Sam Piper, ESPN Radio 93.5. You looked a little scared to talk, a little reverb there. We've been sorting through some things, but the show started, and I think we're doing all right.
Here we go, man. We're at Pia's. It's hot. It's homecoming weekend.
It is.
I about said Halloween. It is getting close to Halloween as well, right? I mean, we're still in October.
Yeah, buddy.
Just had a birthday, so I'm a year older. When's your birthday, Jay?
March 1st.
March 1st. You're like basketball time. I'm football time. There was a uncanny thing if you go back and look at my, I think it was my 20th, 30th, 40th, 50th birthday, Illinois upset a ranked team every year on my birthday, if you go specifically on my birthday. So,
what was the 50th?
I'm trying to think. I would have been three. I think it was Penn State.
Okay.
I think it was Penn State. And I think Penn State another time when I was shockingly down in Florida, and we were at St. Pete, I think, and we went up. I said, I'm going to this Hooters to watch the Illini, because, you know, that fits me.
Let me just break in here right now before the Hooters gets out of control. First of all, he showed up to Hooters sometimes way too early. It hasn't even been open. He gets Eastern time
happen.
Mixed up.
Yep.
I mean, that's happened.
Yes.
And also, let's just say this. I think the reason it always happens on his birthday is Illinois has a disappointing September. They wake up for a game. So it's not really happenstance. It's just, it happens.
Well, hey, whatever it works, right? That's the key here. All right, Derek Piper, it is homecoming.
It is.
Illinois has a chance. I think they kind of maybe salvaged the season last week.
Potentially.
They have a chance to get to 500. How big would that be before we ask Jay that question?
It's huge. It's a chance to redefine your season when it looked like this was going to be a major disappointment. And for the bar being set at bowl game at the very least going into this season, a lot of people thought it could be more than that. I thought it could be 7-8 wins. Could you compete for the West? And prior to that Maryland game, it looked like a bowl just, you know, going to Detroit was unlikely. So the chance to beat back-to-back very, very solid teams in the Big Ten, you got one of those already on the road against Maryland and Wisconsin. What would be a big-time momentum boost going into the bye week and knowing the type of schedule you have the rest of the way. So it almost feels like a get-out-of-jail-free card a little bit that you were able to collect. Of course, you had to go earn that in College Park, but you also couple it with the fact that Wisconsin doesn't have their starting quarterback, and it's as good an opportunity as you could imagine, you know, just about a week or two ago.
Only the legendary John Makovic had a winning record at Illinois over the first 4 years, 30-16, right? And went to four straight bowl games. Listen, if you go to a bowl game in Illinois for 4 or 5 years in a row, they might build a statue. It'd be Grange, Butkus, and maybe Bielema. But I will stand by what I said, which was if they play like they played against Purdue or Nebraska, there will not be another team on the schedule. You cannot play that bad and beat anybody. But if they play like they play against Maryland, they could beat anybody on their schedule. And that's a lot how we thought the year was going to go. I don't know what football team is going to show up. I do think they're starting to get healthy on the offensive line, which has been the biggest bugaboo for this football team. If they're healthy, supposedly Zay Crystal practiced for the first time all year last week, the whole week. Hunter Whitenack looked better than expected. Josh Geske's going to be back this week. Isaiah Adams getting used to tackle. Julian Pearl, give him credit, he's been solid. If it weren't for Danville, Illinois, we could have one win. I mean, thank goodness for Danville. The Vikings, bad. They're a tough, tough, I say bad in a good way, a tough football team. So shout out to the Vikings on their season-ending game tonight.
Jay, and like you said right there, it's hard to try to figure out what we're going to see on Saturday. What side do you lean towards? What side would you try to, if you were to pick this game, and I don't want your prediction maybe right now, but just kind of do you think this is repeatable based on what we saw in College Park? Or unfortunately, to this point, that's the outlier game versus right. The other sample size.
Right, yeah, it is the outlier game. If you look at the critical situations, Pipes, 2 minute into the half, 2 minute into the game, third and short, fourth and short, goal line, red zone, turnovers. We did excellent in all those, right? Now, you're not going to do great on third down, on red zone, and on a two-minute every game in turnovers, right? But if you can win 3 out of 4 of those, you got a chance. We don't have enough explosiveness to make up if we don't play great in critical situations. You might say, oh, and you're going to keep playing if you miss out in the first half on a couple third and shorts. We don't have enough firepower, and that's the difficulty when we miss those opportunities.
Jay Lemon, I want to ask you this. You are now going to be facing a backup quarterback. When you were on defense going into a game knowing that the starter was out, did you try to make that not a big deal in the sense that you didn't want to get overconfident? Or did you just start, like, salivating early in the week thinking, we're facing a backup, man. We got to go at him as fast and as hard as we can?
Well, I didn't have many chances in my career to get overconfident, okay? But I always feel like I should have arrived. Here's what I think, and whether defensive coordinators will say this out loud to the media or not, but in closed doors, it is hit the quarterback. Don't be dirty. You want to see, have that guy on the ground. How many passes does the guy complete on his back? Not many. How many turnovers does he create? Does he throw running for his life? A lot, right? You want to make him uncomfortable, right? And the more you can hit a quarterback, usually the worse they play. And so I think you have a backup quarterback that's not used to seeing everything the way Tanner Mortar guy is. You got a backup quarterback whose timing is different with other receivers than what Tanner Mortar guy, because the way it goes, he's probably gotten a fourth of the reps in practice. That's about it. Mortar guy's probably gotten a third, three-fourths of the reps. So I think it's a real opportunity for Illinois to take advantage of a critical injury and make this a game to get back to .500.
Jay, look back to last season's matchup, and obviously Illinois owned the trenches. They were able to hold Wisconsin to 2 yards rushing total, which is just mind-boggling to kind of think back on. We know what's changed for Illinois. They've gone from one of the best rush defenses in the country to still towards the bottom of the Big Ten, but Wisconsin seems to have figured some things out with Braylon Allen being more productive this year. From your vantage point, maybe what's changed for the Badgers? We know the scheme has changed,
sure,
but are they better up front by a considerable margin maybe than they were last year?
I think last year was a little bit of an anomaly as far as they lost momentum when they had Paul Chris fire and Jim Leonard take over. I just didn't think the whole second half of the season since the Illinois game, they were not themselves. I've always thought they've had a solid offensive line. The difference is they're running out of a different personnel. They ran out of, 12 personnel and 13 personnel, meaning, hey, they had one back and two or three tight ends. Now we're seeing 11 personnel, one back, one tight end, three receivers on the field, and they're trying to spread you out to run the football. The air raid, like I said, has been the air run. As much as Longo wants to throw the ball, they're really built to they're built to run it. And so they haven't been that productive. I do think Braylon Allen's the best back they're going to face the rest of the year.
We know Keith Randolph's status is in question. I think Brett Bielema mentioned yesterday still hadn't been cleared as of yet. What would his absence mean in this type of a matchup? And if so, who's got to step up to be able to stop that run?
I mean, he's a preseason All Big Ten guy, so you're always going to miss him. I think Johnny Newton, obviously the midseason All American, so he's played as advertised. We saw double teams, sometimes triple teams against Maryland. We saw an adjustment by Aaron Henry going four down line. So under Ryan Walters and much under Aaron Henry, first three or four games, we saw five down linemen with a nose tackle, two outside backers, Akis and Coleman usually, sometimes Alec Bryan, sometimes Zeke Holmes, and a nose tackle, right? And so now that we don't have Keith Randolph, we go into a four-down look, which seemed to be pretty productive. Got another linebacker on the field. That's why we saw more James Crutes. We've seen Dylan Rosiak. The ascension of Dylan Rosiak really become a top-notch linebacker for the Illini. I think we get more reps from Tariq Barnes. I think he's back to being healthy. I mean, you're cleared, but you're not healthy. And, of course, Kanenna Odaluga has also played well and been Johnny on the spot.
Got to ask you on the other side of the ball, Jay, the tight end. If you combine Ryman and Boyer's numbers, they don't look far off from other programs that maybe have a number one tight end. And we always think of Wisconsin and Iowa when we think of that tight end. You break this down better than I do. When it comes to, I know you said a couple of weeks ago, we may see a lot more of the formations with the tight ends in to help with the run, et cetera. How would you grade the tight ends so far this season? Because I think they combined, they have like 20-some catches and a couple hundred yards, which isn't far off from some of the other tight ends in the Big Ten that just utilize basically one. So how would you rank that position so far?
I think it's a really good question. A tight end, the most forgotten position at every age level is the tight end, right? Junior football, never covered. High school, never covered. A lot of times open. Yeah. Not that fast, but open. And I will say, I always think we need to target the tight ends more. They targeted Tip a little bit more early in the season. Boyer certainly has the body. Arkin has the body. We've seen Griffin Moore be kind of a skill tight end as well. I think they've been one of our most consistent groups for what we've asked them to do, blocking and catching the football. We obviously, Griffin Moore had the big turnover against Nebraska. But as far as catching the football and blocking, we've seen them block at the point of attack. I thought Tip Ryman had one of his best games blocking at the point of attack, getting Caden Fagan the edge. You look at the first couple plays, Tip Ryman is absolutely owning. He's an NFL tight end. Is he ever going to wow you with pass catching skills and five catches a game? Probably not, but he's a quasi offensive lineman that can move pretty well.
I said Boyer. It's not, I didn't
do Boyer too.
Well, yeah, but Moore, right, is getting more of the stuff.
Boyer's the more blocker. Griffin, they're going to put in. Like, if I'm on defense, I see Griffin Moore in there. I have alert pass play to Griffin Moore. I mean, it's pretty obvious tendency when you look at it. It's like, that dude ain't in the block. I like Griffin, but he's better pass catcher than he is a blocker at this point.
Jay, what is it about Caden Fagan that's made him look like the most productive and best option at running back of the group? I know McCray's been hurt, obviously. Reggie didn't necessarily look bad, but it just looks like this should be Caden Fagan's job, even if the whole room is healthy.
Well, he looks like a fifth-year senior. Let's be real. I mean, he steps on the field, you're like, that don't look like a freshman. Now, I can't say the same about Aiden Lawfer. He was a birder. I don't know what the weight program was at Atwood Hammond compared to GCMS, but something's going on. Number two, and we've got Atwood Hammond's finest here, and Kent Brown in the fans over here. But I would say this. What makes Caden Fagan a little bit different than McCray is his acceleration out of the hole. I always felt that McCray struggled to get acceleration and struggled to pick his feet up. We'd see him get shoestring tackled a lot. I also think Caden Fagan tends to run with his arms really well. Sometimes you don't see that, meaning that you're using your arm to throw off different people. I think Caden Fagan does that naturally. I still think we can see some wrinkles in the Wildcat with him or the Wildcat with Isaiah Williams to get some more reps.
Jay, we saw an article yesterday on the Wisconsin 24/7 site where the players were quoted on the Badger side as saying, this one's personal. This one means a little bit more. We were embarrassed last year, and obviously that stung them to that
well,
be the final game.
We've been embarrassed a lot by the Badgers, so I'm
yeah,
stuck,
right?
Go ahead, yeah.
As a player, do you look at that when you're on like the other side of it? Like, oh, okay, we got to understand they're going to play with emotion probably especially early, or is there enough to play for already that doesn't really matter?
Well, I will say the billboard material is real. They do try to find everything. One time I heard Lee Corso on College Game Day, and he made mention, I think, of something of Illinois playing. I don't know what team we were playing, but he's like, man, talk about a – I believe it was Lee. It could have been somebody else, but said, what a pillow fight. And I was like, man, that was brutal, like, to hear that. I was like – he was trying to be funny. And being on TV now, I understand that, right? I mean, I'm the guy that's said some things that if a team heard it, they'd be like, oh my gosh, that was brutal, right? So, Lee, not knocking Lee, I thought it's funny in hindsight. But when I was a player, I was like, man, they're saying that Illinois versus, I can't remember the team we were playing, is a pillow fight. I took that as like, man, I'm a linebacker. I'm soft as cotton. So, some of that does play into it.
That's pretty funny. I can imagine how that would. All right, so what we've heard now is let's make Braden Locke beat you and not Braylon Allen. That sounds easy. That sounds like a great script that I would come up with as a coach. How hard is that to just absolutely say, all right, we're letting him beat us, not us?
Well, I would say this. In any football thing, it's all about stopping the run and running the ball. Like whatever level you go to, that's what it is. I mean, you watch any football game, and it's so interesting. When you watch Illinois, it's almost like from the first quarter on, you could tell it was a different football team than Maryland. When they played Penn State 2 years ago, it was a different football team, you know? And when they played Nebraska, it was like, we can't do anything. There's nothing going on. And so I do think it's a tall task. I think Braylon's going to get his yards. I think he's going to have a 150. We can't have him go for 200, 250, 300 and have them control the line of scrimmage. They're going to get their yards. I believe we're going to get our yards. We don't have a dynamic offense, but Wisconsin's defense is not the Wisconsin defense of 3, 4, 5 years ago, where they had consistently a top five defense with NFL outside linebackers every year. They don't have that, and I still think they're building that. I think Luke Fickell's a good coach, but they're not where they're going to be.
Jay, what would it mean, maybe big picture? We know that a loss to Purdue could have some ramifications in recruiting. At least Ryan Walters is going to try to use that against you. But to beat Wisconsin 2 years in a row, if you were able to do that, you're still going to have another opportunity to beat Minnesota again. Iowa, you could maybe – I know the Hawkeyes will be favored, and maybe they'll be on the fast track to 11-1. We'll see. But what do you think a win against Wisconsin two times in a row? It seems like – Illinois is starting to annoy them a little bit. The fact that Bielema was here, that Jim Leonard's on the staff, and to lose that game last year, I think Badgers fans are getting a little annoyed with Illinois.
I would agree with that, and I would also say if we get to 4-4, you get a bye week, you get healthy, you get Keith Randolph back. That's another thing to think about. Do you play Keith Randolph and risk hurting him again, or do you give him another 2 weeks, right? But I would say this. You get to the bye week at 4-4. You have Minnesota, Iowa, Northwestern, Indiana, your schedule. You win all those, you could be a Big Ten West champion, which is just the craziest part, right, about being in the Big Ten West. Now, again, we're starting to drink the Kool-Aid. We get one win, you know, we just cannot help ourselves. You know, we're off the ledge.
Is that what's in your Yeti over there, Lon?
We'll go off the ledge into Pia's Kool-Aid bar immediately after one win. Maybe after the first quarter we're back, that this team is not going to do anything. But right now we believe that they are the team. They are him, as the guys would say.
They are him. We're going to have – we got to let you go. We got to get to a break. But we're going to have Martin O'Donnell on, one of your former teammates on that Rose Bowl team. What can you tell us about Martin?
First of all, Parade All-American. Nobody knows he was a Parade All-American, like the lineman of the year coming out of Downers Grove South. Martin, just a mauler up front, four-year starter, and fellow All-American as well. One of the big reasons – people forgot, we led the league in rushing in 2006 and 2007 with about four plays and a first-round tailback. And a huge quarterback that was 230, and one really big wide receiver who also took option pitches and ran the ball for 50 yards a game. So we had a lot of different pieces to it. Martin's a great guy, great analyst as well.
Got a great lineup today, starting off with our guy, Jay Layman, as always. We appreciate your time. We're also going to have Kent Brown in, former SID and Associate Athletic Director, who's here to join us. We're going to have Martin O'Donnell. We'll have Hans D. It's going to be a good time.
Wow, this is the show of shows.
It really is.
We've even got the wind in the background.
I may set this one out, Jay. Let's set it out.
It might need to after your visit to Royal King last night. He went to Royal King.
Sweatshirt.
You know, he's
had
a good time.
Jay Layman, you're the best, buddy. We always
Thank
love
you,
having you, man.
All right,
good stuff. It is always nice to have an All-American come down and kind of break things down for you every show. So it's always fun to have Jay Layman. A lot of energy. He does it right. Martin O'Donnell, you mentioned he's going to be here coming up, but how about we get with Kent Brown when we come right back?
Let's do so.
Everything about Illinois football, everything about homecoming, what it means. I want to ask him, as a sports information director, now retired, how different was it when homecoming rolled around? And you knew you got a lot of alumni coming back, so we'll do that when Kent comes back. or when Kent comes back, when he joins us.
When he joins us, when we come back. Kyle, take us to break. We're live at Pia's. Come out and join us, West Springfield Avenue. We're here 3 to 5. This is The Drive.
We all have a mission in life, something that drives us to explore, to grow, to love. And when we discover it, we're made whole. At OSF Healthcare, we want you to be the best you possible. We're here for you on your schedule to make your life just a little bit easier. Whatever your mission is, we're here to support it. Your life, our mission. Learn more at osfhealthcare.org/mission.
Everybody needs insurance, and that's why I love Kyle Lewis at Insurance Providers Group. This is Jay Layman, All-American linebacker. Kyle provides auto, life, health, and all kinds of commercial lines of insurance. They are my one-stop shop for all my insurance needs, and all my rental properties are insured by IPG. That's why you need to email Kyle at IPGINS.com. Kyle at IPGINS.com.
So when was the last time you saw a best deal guarantee?
You mean a promise that actually held up?
Right.
That some unknown online entity didn't want you to log in and download a code and then re-verify as you join some club?
Drives you nuts, I know.
And then once you purchase that set of steak knives?
Well, Dick Van Dyke Appliance World is a lot simpler. You find a verified great deal and they beat it. Just show them the deal you saw. A newspaper clipping or the online cart price will do, and then you're good.
At Dick Van Dyke Appliance World, it's one of those instances where you see a best deal guarantee and
you get the best deal.
This is Dennis Reakin, chairman of Dick Van Dyke Appliance World. Our exclusive 10-year protection plan comes free with most appliance purchases. Whether it's a GE, Whirlpool, Frigidaire, Bosch, or any of our 30 brands, I guarantee we will beat any competitor's deal. Wow!
Find the career you want and the work-life balance you need. eMedia openings are now available with RPC's Early Childhood Education Program in Champaign County. New competitive wages, Monday through Friday schedule, weekends, and 17 paid holidays, health insurance, pension, sick and vacation time, free training, and tuition. It's the perfect opportunity to ignite your career in the early childhood education field. Visit the Regional Planning Commission's Early Childhood Education Program now. CCRPC.org/jobs.
Reach your savings goals. Busey Bank's CD specials can help. Watch your money grow with competitive rates and offers. Visit busey.com/CD rates. Visit your local service center or call 1-800-67-BUSEY today. Busey Bank, building business, growing wealth since 1868.
Hi, this is Kirk Layman with Aftershock Decals and Design, and right now we are looking for an honest, hardworking individual that wants a career with Aftershock Decals and Design. If you have any kind of experience wrapping vehicles, tinting windows, we want you.
You can't touch this.
No, not that kind of wrapper.
Can't touch this.
Please go to our website at AftershockDD.com, click on the Jobs tab, and send in your resume. We want you. AftershockDD.com.
Hey Illini fans, it's the best time of the year, homecoming. We can't wait to see you back on campus and at Memorial Stadium on Saturday, October 21st versus Wisconsin. Make sure to get in town early Friday for the homecoming parade and pep rally. Tailgating, family, homecoming, and Illinois football. What could be better than that? Get tickets at FightingIllini.com.
Hi, it's Stevie J. Start your day with me along with Diane Ducey, weekday mornings 7 to 9, here on ESPN Radio 93.5.
innovation, preservation, generation. At Busey Bank, these are the principles we use to build meaningful financial partnerships with our clients and their families. With sound advice and vast resources, partner with Busey for a personalized approach to your legacy. Busey Bank, building business, growing wealth, since 1868. Proud to be the official bank of the Fighting Illini. Member FDIC.
You moved into your new home using two men and a truck. The garage was clean. Then,
I love the new recliner. What are we going to do with this old one?
Put it in the garage for now.
Over time, this cycle continued. It happens. You got junk. Call Two Men in a Truck to get rid of all your junk. Residential or commercial, Two Men in a Truck has a solution for your junk removal. Contact them at twomenchampagne.com.
Two Men in a Truck.
Hi, it's Stevie J. Start your day with me along with Diane Ducey, weekday morning 7 to 9, here on ESPN Radio 93.5.
Oh, yeah, back on the drive with Sam Piper, ESPN Radio 93.5.
Can I tell you I'm 53, Dirk?
I haven't heard it, but drink.
Drink. Oh, hey, he just did.
Our guest just did. He can do that.
Good stuff from Jay Layman, as always.
Of course.
We're guesting today, and we're happy to do so. Kent Brown joining us now. How you doing, Kent? Thanks for coming out.
Could not be any better. What a fantastic middle of the October football season. A little windy. A little windy, but the sun's shining, and mid-60s. This is Big Ten football weather.
Absolutely. Homecoming. Let's start there. Obviously, a big attraction, bring some guys back, and that's always cool. Through your years in the athletic department and everything, what was it like inside of the offices when you knew homecoming was coming up and what that weekend meant?
Well, it's a big week. You know, I mean, really, all the activities start the previous Sunday, mm-hmm. and there's things every day. And there's a few of us who, we're part of some committees on campus, the different things, coming up with the different mottos and things, slogans and stuff along the way, and being part of that conversation, and everybody always wants to know what game time is, because of homecoming, all the different activities, because it's really a busy time on campus with all the different Greek houses, and then the different colleges all have different special events coming back, and so game time has always been important. We tried to switch the parade a little bit one year and went to Saturday morning, which is really kind of a fantastic time because of all the football, but then when those 11 o'clock start, that made it for not so great.
Yep.
And then we don't find out, a lot of these times our game time till it's going to be 2:30, right, tomorrow, and we didn't find that out till later, and so you have to make some decisions. So it's back on Friday night, and so I used to take my kids to the parade every year and stand up there and let them get a bag of candy and watch the thing. It was always a lot of fun. So there's always a little bit more excitement around the air. It looks like a little more feeling about the week on campus.
Did you ever work your way up into like being on the committee to judge the floats or walk around to the frat house to see who had the that was always cool when I was there, the frat houses and sororities, how they would decorate it up.
I used to remember even from Hammond, where I grew up, was about 45 minutes away. Man, we used to some parent would pile us all in a car when we were little and drive up to look at the houses and look at all the decoration stuff. It was a big deal, and there were more Greek houses at that time, more fraternities and sororities on campus, so there was more of it. It's always kind of fun to be around, and you just, when people come back and you get a chance to recognize some of the great alumni that have graced this campus, and then the parade and then the game and with the court and all the things that go along with it. So, we're very proud. Obviously, we're very proud of homecoming on this campus. We were one of the very first homecomings, started in 1910.
Wow.
And for years, we kind of claimed to be the originator of it. Found out we were second, maybe, to Baylor.
Boo.
Who started actually a homecoming in 1909. But, they didn't have one every year. And we had a continuous tradition since 1910, and so we're very, very proud of it, and so it's a big deal on this campus, and through the administration they give a lot of support to it.
Kent Brown, our guest, it says something that the two Douglas County guys wore shorts. I don't know if we're dumber than everyone or tougher than everyone.
I usually play by the 50 degree rule. If it's above 50, I don't mind wearing shorts. I had to go get my jacket, though, and well, a cap over my – I don't have much hair on my head, so I had to go get something to cover my ears out here. But this is – you know, that's what this weather – the clothing's for, right?
I layers, take a lot of –
that's what layers
amen.
Is for.
I take a lot of grief when I'm out there on the tailgate lots and shorts, which I will be tomorrow. I'll take the grief. But, hey, you know what? It's going to be beautiful tomorrow. I got to ask you this question. From a guy that's been in the media for a long time and 14 years almost with this show – riding the highs and lows of Illinois sports at all, right? I mean, and it, listen, this happens at every campus for the most part, except for a select few maybe when it comes to football that just kind of win almost every week. But how is that for you as a sports information director? You have to be a professional. You can't worry about things, but obviously your life's got to be a lot easier when the football team's winning, when fans are showing up, when everything is just clicking like it should be. How hard was that for Kent Brown to kind of wrestle that part? Now that you're retired, just go scalding earth.
You are a fan. You are a fan.
Right.
You just can't show it all the time. And no matter the outcome, we do have a job to do. So, you know, the media who cover our games have to be serviced, you know, press conferences during the week and media information and run the press box and all the things that go along with it. So no matter what, win or lose, that's what we have to do. And oftentimes having those conversations with players, it's funny. No one really likes to go talk to the media after a loss. Everybody wants to go talk to the media after a win. And so, you know, you develop those relationships with players that oftentimes you can go to. Guys who will be leaders, step up and be leaders and talk on behalf of the team. And you learn those guys early and you ride those guys out. It is a lot more fun when you're winning. Everybody's got a better attitude. Everybody's happy. It also brings additional layers of work, which is all what we're in it for. You know, I always used to tell people, before a big game, this is why we got in the business. This is why we do what we do, is because this is what everybody's watching today. So let's go out and do our best effort. And so, Illinois football has had its ups and downs, right? We've had the Rose Bowl. We've had a Sugar Bowl. We've had a couple Big Ten championships over the years. And then we had some down years. And so you just deal with those and know that you got to move on. It's funny, you get in the football season and it becomes a real – just everything's on clockwork, right? Saturday's a game, you know. Monday's a press conference. Tuesday's there's media after practice. Wednesday's there's media after practice. And you're doing other things in beside this to get ready for the game. Thursday, you kind of catch your breath. Coach Bielema does media on Thursdays. Fridays, usually we have meetings with the television crews and our coaches. Saturday's the game, and that's a long day. It's 3 hours before, 3 hours after. And then Sunday, you're prepping to get ready for the next week, and all of a sudden you look up and you're six games in, which is basically where we're at, and the season's half over, and you're like, oh my gosh, we got only half a season to go, and it flies by. And now, you know, as in those of us who used to work in athletics and who still many still do, this is the time of year as basketball starts tonight, and we have that double dipping, right? So we got basketball tonight, football tomorrow, we got basketball, we got women's exhibition coming up, we've got the men's exhibition against Kansas next Sunday. Lucky we have a bye football week coming up, and so it's hard to keep all those things tracking. But man, when we start the early part of the basketball season, when you have all these games going on early each week, it really adds a layer. It's a lot of fun. Trust me, we're talking about sports. We're not digging ditches, right? And so I have to remind myself all those years and others that we are watching sporting events and working sporting events.
Kent Brown is our guest here at Pia's. Come join us, West Springfield Avenue. Great place. Good drink specials, giveaways. Get some tickets if you don't have any. Come hang out with us. Kent, I got to ask you about Dick Butkus, who unfortunately passed away a few weeks ago. And speaking of being in the media, one of my favorite memories of being on this beat is being in that press conference for when he got his statue and just how entertaining he was. And just to get a feel, because, you know, you grow up around this area, and I had heard, you know, my grandma talk about, you know, I went and saw him play here at Memorial Stadium, and you just hear the stories, and obviously played for the Bears as well. Unfortunately, I'm a fan of that team too. But from your vantage point, what was it like to be around him in the time that you did, and what he meant to this athletic department?
Well, one of the biggest thrills of my career was a chance to meet him, and it happened several times, you know, and I've got several stories, and they're all kind of funny because he's such, you know, he has this personality of this, had this personality of being such a tough guy, and he was one of the toughest players ever, but he had a sense of humor that often people didn't see and didn't realize. And, you know, he carried a whoopee cushion in his pocket. And so, yeah, you all look at me, but that's the truth. And he would tell stories about how in an elevator or in an enclosed area, he would use that and then look at somebody next to him, you know, to throw the blame. And it was, he started telling a story about that one time, and he started laughing so hard he started crying. And I was like, you know, I mean, it was one of the joys of his life was to have fun with people and to make fun, you know. And so I've got several of those types of stories that I got a chance to experience, and including the whoopee cushion. And I didn't know it until after it wasn't me, it was a couple other guys he was with, but you know, I was kind of mad at, you know, like, come on, guys, get the and that was what he was. So, you know, he was a living legend. When he was here, he was obviously larger than life. I mean, that statue was absolutely perfect for Buckus. That press conference that he had was absolutely wonderful. The honesty of his playing days, right? And then to hear all the things from the players that played against him and played with him and how special he was. And talking to his teammates, I talked to a couple of his teammates the day or two after he passed away, and they were, you know, he was just different. Just a different body. He was so much bigger and could run faster and was meaner, and he could just do things that were just different than everybody else. And that's why he was the level he was and considered maybe the best defensive player ever.
Ken, I want to ask you one more before we take a break. We've asked you this before, but we're that much closer to Self coming back in Illinois, Kansas. Kansas number one. I don't think we can talk about it enough, honestly. What are you expecting? Are you going to be in the house for that?
I will be. I got my tickets very early for that. I mean, the Maui, it's a great fundraiser for in support of Maui and for many of us who got a chance to go there for the basketball tournaments. I got to go there twice.
Yep.
It's paradise, and to see the damage that was inflicted by the fires there was really disheartening and shocking. And so anything we can do to try to help them was great. You know, Kansas and Illinois both have a regular rotational stop at the Maui Invite, and so for those two coaches to get together, it'll be a lot of fun to have Bill back. I mean, he was back a couple summers ago for the Coaches versus Cancer, and the response was absolutely incredible. I think the reaction from our crowd may be more for the new center that joined their club.
I've heard
on. Yeah, maybe. And so I didn't think we'd ever see Hunter again, but all of a sudden here he will be on the floor. And so, you know, if this was a regular season game, I mean, this would be the hottest ticket going.
Yes.
And but, you know, this is a little different. It's an exhibition game, and both there'll be some scripted, a lot of scripted things that happen. But we're going to see one that, I mean, they're ranked number one in the country, I believe, right?
Yep.
And so, which I can't believe that Purdue's not, considering everybody they got back. I was talking about this with somebody, like, how is Purdue not number one? My gosh. Which tells you kind of what Kansas has, and they're great. And so it'll be a great practice game for us and a great opportunity to see where we're at. You know, tonight against Ottawa, I don't, you know, it's more about getting our guys and seeing our guys out on the floor and running and jumping, seeing them in person, seeing what they're going to do. But that, yeah, that KU game, just because of Bill on the sideline too, it's pretty special.
Well, with your connection both to Bill Self and Brad Underwood, we expect you to get it done, to have it be where there's a game over there that counts between those two sides before it's
all
said and
done. Man, wouldn't that be fun? I know it. I think maybe this will be the starting point to get that going. I think Bill was always a little hesitant about this, but I'm like, gosh, it's 20 years. We're 20 years past it. I think we've all moved. Most of us have moved on. I know there are people out there that still will always hold a grudge, and that's okay. But a lot of us have moved on. I mean, we all had our successes and our failures. Bill's had an unbelievable Hall of Fame career at Kansas, right? And he was probably on his way there here, which is what makes it disappointing. When you see somebody go on and have great success, that's what makes it hurt a little bit more. But, you know, he is one of the true most – unique personalities I've ever met. He can talk to anybody and anyone within 10 minutes. You think you're a lifelong friend, no matter what the group. I mean, he could walk in and walk around this room, and every person in this out here in this beer area out here would feel like that he was their best friend, and it was amazing. And so I miss being around him for that part, to watch how he operated. But I know it'll be fun to have those back. I know we're going to have a lot of his players from that era are coming back. And so that'll be a fun part. And hopefully we'll get a chance to everybody get together a little bit.
Kent, thanks for coming out and joining
us. My pleasure.
Appreciate your time as always.
I appreciate
it.
Glad Lon stuck around fine this time. The last two times I was supposed to be where Lon was, he bailed on me. But I know, yeah, this time he stayed. And, you know, Eric Meyer, you know, the fine owner, bought me a beer, which is even better. So I'll
awesome.
Come back way more often than anybody buys me a beer.
Let's do it.
Hey, good luck against Sullivan. Chance to go undefeated.
Well, yeah, that's kind of my alma mater. I always say Atwood Hammond, Arthur Lovington, but both teams are 8-0, and so that'll be a big game tonight. Yeah, it'll be fun. It'll be fun to see how that plays out.
Without a doubt. Thank you, buddy. That is a good friend of ours. Very good friend of ours, Kent Brown. Another one's coming up, too. Martin O'Donnell, Parade All-American. Kent wasn't quite a Parade All-American at Atwood Hammond, but he was pretty stinking good. Hey, we're going to take a quick break, quick one.
Yep.
Kyle knows we're going to go to the top of the hour.
Yep.
Martin O'Donnell, All-American, Parade All-American. He was so good at Illinois. He's a great analyst right now for Illinois football. I cannot wait to talk to him.
Let's do it next.
It is The Drive.
Escape to the country at Curtis Orchard in Southwest Champaign as the kids enjoy the playground and the petting zoo and the country store at Curtis Orchard featuring delicious apple cider, apple crisp donuts and pies, your favorite comfort foods made from scratch at the Flying Monkey Cafe. Come visit Curtis Orchard. Open now Monday through Saturday 9 to 6 and on Sundays 11 to 6. 3902 South Duncan Road in Champaign. At CurtisOrchard.com.
Illini fans, gear up for the football season this year with the official fan store of the Fighting Illini, Game Day Spirit. Get ready to support your Fighting Illini by shopping their great selection of Illini football merchandise, including t-shirts, sweatshirts, even brand new Nike replica jerseys. Shop with them at the corner of Neal and Kirby in Champaign, 6th and Green in Campus Town, or online 24/7 at GameDaySpirit.com. Game Day Spirit, where Illini fans shop.
When Ross went out, I always told him, be careful. And that was the last time I got to see him.
Because someone didn't slow down and move over. Ross had on a bright orange shirt with reflective stripes the night he was killed.
He always had that smile. He just lit up the room when he came in.
Slow down and move over. When you see flashing lights, everybody is somebody somebody.
When you see lights flashing, use caution passing. Let's all go home safe tonight.
Hi, it's Stevie J. Sit back and relax and take The Drive with Lon Tay and Derek Piper. Weekdays 4 to 6 right here on ESPN Radio 93.5.
Back in The Drive with Sam Piper, ESPN Radio 93.5, live from PS Sports Bar and Grill. Happy to bring on another great guest,
Martin O'Donnell,
former Illini, does a great job on the Illini Radio Sports Network with Brian Barnhart. Thanks for joining us.
Hey, thanks for having me, guys. Appreciate being here.
This is awesome. Listen, they were just laughing. Benny was just up here laughing about your excitability. If that's a word, I enjoy it. I love Brian is so good at what he does, and he calls it with an even flow. And then you always know it's a big play when you hear you in the background going, ow! You know, I mean, I love everything about it. I just love the raw emotion, and it's easy for you to get there, isn't it, as a former Illini?
Yeah, it really is. I mean, Brian's the best in the business. He does such a tremendous job, and he's a professional, right? And I always say I'm just a psychopath that sits next to him, you know, 12 Saturdays every fall. And it's a lot more fun, obviously, when we're winning. And so it's been fun. It's my ninth year doing it, and you know, I think I know, you tell me. Yeah, it's been 9 years, and it's been a lot of fun the past couple years especially, and you get those big wins and games like last week where it comes down to, you know, one final play and the finality of it, and you know, hey, for Caleb to hit that kick, it was great.
Martin, from your vantage point, what led to that breakthrough in College Park, and do you think this team is capable of replicating that this weekend?
I said it a lot during the broadcast last week, and I think it's really true, is football's not an overly complicated game. Just don't beat yourself, right? And so Illinois has been very successful this year at beating themselves through penalties at the worst possible time, And not converting in short yardage situations on offense, you know, not getting that big play on defense. And it came together last week. They did a good job, you know, containing the explosive plays, you know, the offense. You know, I thought obviously, you know, double dipping as Coach Bielema calls it there at the end of the first half. I thought that was a big play, converting in the short yardage. I think that's what the offense needed. And then, you know, going out third quarter, scoring 10 points on the first two drives was big. And then the defense, you know, Seth Coleman with three sacks, but really just containing everything and not allowing Talia Tagovailoa and that Maryland explosive offense to get going. I mean, but they didn't beat themselves. Sometimes it's really just that simple.
Martin, we know you had a lot of success on the offensive line during your playing career. We expected this to be, that position group to be a decent strength for this squad going into the season. They've had their issues. Maybe their best game against Maryland. What have you seen in terms of that group trying to figure it out, and do you think they're at a point where they are going to figure it out going forward?
Yeah, I think they played well against Maryland. I think this is a team. I mean, they've had a lot of guys banged up. I mean, there's games this year where, you know, you had the two guards miss the game, and, you know, obviously, you know, starting Zy Chrysler didn't get healthy through camp, and then he started a right tackle, then you got to kick, you know, Isaiah Adams, who's probably your best offensive lineman at left guard, and then you make him a right tackle, and Isaiah hadn't played on that side and hadn't played that position. But that's the beautiful thing about offensive line plays. You got to try to find the best five guys, and I think they're finding their best five guys, and they're calling plays that allow them a chance to be successful. And so, yeah, I look for them to build on that certainly against the Wisconsin team, and that's how Illinois beat Wisconsin last year. I mean, they controlled and dominated the line of scrimmage, so that's exactly what they're going to have to do again tomorrow.
You know the voice, Martin O'Donnell. Asked Fred Wakefield a few years ago about just all – I mean, none of us know what an offensive lineman does unless you're an offensive lineman.
Sure.
Right? We all played quarterback and pickup. We were a wide receiver. Nobody's done that unless you do it like you at a high level. How hard is this to get chemistry of what they're having to do every week?
Yeah, it's really challenging. I mean, it is. And again, you got to be able to communicate really well. You got to be able to communicate effectively non-verbally. You got to have guys that see the same thing and then are able to act, you know, kind of in an
sure.
instant. And so finding guys to do that, it's really challenging. When you ask guys to flip sides, it's not easy. But I think you can see a guy like Isaiah Adams. He's coming into his own at right tackle. His sets are looking better. He's a physical player. And so, you know, I think it'll be helpful to get Josh Geske back. Again, that'll be another group up there along the offensive line. You know, you slot him in, but certainly look for them to have success again tomorrow.
Now, you've got a successful life during the week. How much time do you spend preparing for a Saturday radio call of Illinois football?
Yeah, it usually winds up being probably somewhere between 10 and 15 hours a week would be it. You know, what I try to do is, you know, I was never very athletic, you know, in terms of an offensive lineman, but I watched a lot of film, right? And so that's what I try to do. I always rewatch our games, and I watch our opponents' previous three games just to get a feel for who they are and who they are right now. And so so that takes time, obviously, and I got a great wife, and my kids are obviously very understanding. But it does take quite a bit of time. In order for me to feel, you know, you want to feel prepared. It's like anything else in life. Preparation is the key to everything. And I know Brian's going to be prepared. And, you know, I know what Brian's and the broadcast is going to look for from me.
Last one for you, Martin. I know you go back to that Rose Bowl team you were part of in 2007. The Illinois-Wisconsin game was one of the bright
yeah.
spots of that season. How many raw eggs did Jay Layman drink before that game?
All the raw eggs. And the olive oil and all. I mean, I don't know if he still got that, you know, zany diet or whatever he was doing. But the worst part about it is Jay was getting other people to do it, and and other people didn't look like Jay, right? I mean, you get, like, some defensive linemen doing it, and they're swallowing raw eggs, and all it does is just stink up the bathroom. I mean, it's not a good situation for the entire team to try to be like Jay Layman. There's one Jay Layman, as everybody knows. And what works for Jay doesn't work for everybody, but, hey, guys got to learn the hard way sometimes.
No doubt. No doubt. Great stuff. Thanks for joining us out here at PS.
Thanks, guys.
We'll have to do it again sometime, man.
Yeah, please do. We'd love to do it with Martin O'Donnell again. Thanks, buddy. Homecoming at Illinois. This is awesome. Wisconsin does not have their starting quarterback. Illinois does. What is that going to mean for this game? We're going to break it down next hour. We'll hear from Brett Bielema. We'll hear from you guys visited with the Wisconsin. What was the name?
Nick Osen, Badger 24/7.
That's
yep.
my fault. That's I play the old card there when I forget things. So we'll break all that down. And, Derek, we're going to take this to the top of the hour. And again, it was awesome having what we've had today. Jay Layman, Martin O'Donnell, Kent Brown. I mean, three exceptional athletes, actually. Now, Kent would tell you, well, come on, you know, but Kent Brown was a heck of an athlete, maybe more so on the basketball side, but he was a football guy as well. We're going to take it to the top here, Derek, but you're feeling – somebody asked me today in a podcast, they asked me about – what I what would my prediction be? And we'll talk about this at the end with who you got. And I know what yours is, but we're going to talk about it. But the idea that you're coming in, and I asked Jay that, you're coming in against a backup quarterback, that has to get you more fired up, doesn't it? Like, first of all, I don't think Wisconsin doesn't scare the crap out of me, even with Mordecai. But now that they don't have him and it's a Braden Cook, how much different do you think it makes? How much difference do you think it makes in a game like this?
Well, it's his first career start.
Yeah.
And so I think that's something that you look at his inexperience, and is he going to have the jitters? Is he going to be a situation where you can maybe get to him and rattle him a little bit, especially if you slow down that run game and put more on his plate early on? So, I mean, it's a big difference when Tanner Mordecai hasn't lit it up this season in Wisconsin, but he had thrown for 60, 70 touchdowns in two seasons at SMU for a reason. Like, that guy's talented. He's been in a lot of battles throughout his career, and Braden Locke is someone that is very new. So I think it all of a sudden flips the switch of, if Mordecai was in this game, Wisconsin would by far and away have the more proven quarterback, the more experienced quarterback. Now you have a situation where Luke Altmyer is actually the more experienced guy on your side, and you hope that he's riding some confidence after especially that big throw late.
Yes.
Casey Washington, that final drive, the run that set up that field goal as well. So I think that's where I'm looking at it from Illinois. Like, what's that confidence translate in terms of, you get that win, how much pop and energy and belief can you able to muster up going into this game as well? And really, again, it's just that opportunity hanging there where I know maybe – they say they tune out things on the outside, but they had to kind of get down in the dumps a little bit on themselves as well, as everybody on the outside was like, okay, this season might be a lost season on the track it's going right now. They got to see that carrot hanging there of, we can really make this thing what we thought we would going into the season if we take care of business as we did last week and then get this one. Really, there's a ton of opportunity on our plates going forward if that's the case.
Can Gabe Backus just stand at the 50-yard line and stare at Braden Locke before the game? I mean, come on, that would freak me out.
He could do that.
I'd be like, no, thank you. Hey, in the next minute before Kyle starts to play us out here, we got basketball tonight. I mean, this is crazy. You ask Ken about it, but I know it's Ottawa. I think they're somewhere out of Kansas or something. I don't even know.
Okay.
What are you looking for tonight? And we'll talk a little bit more about this next hour, but what are you looking for, kind of your first initial want to see for this Illinois team?
It's going to sound like a broken record, but Ty Rogers at point guard, I want to see what it looks like for him to run this team, to have the ball in his hands. And as far as him being able to set the table offensively, like, how do they go about putting him in positions to be successful? I expect him to play in a lot of ball screens, have the opportunity to read the floor. I know that what I've heard recently is that he's posting up a lot, and he gets a matchup on a smaller guard, and that turns into a post-up situation. Yep. They try to space it out and make that defense decide, do you want to go send help towards him around the paint? If so, he's going to kick it out. Can Illinois make threes this year? That's another thing.
I mean,
they shot 21% in Spain. It's a chance to kind of attempt to change that narrative.
Yes.
Now's the point. We hear all the off-season stuff of what they believe this team's going to be, what Brad says. And look, I mean, that it's coach speak and whatever for a reason. Now you got some actual games. Yes, this one doesn't count, but a sample size is going to start to be built of what this team really is. So can they make threes tonight? And also Marcus Damask, first opportunity.
Let's go!
Suiting up in your guy.
Doing like a big dog.
From a dog to now an Illini in the orange and blue. I think he can have a big season. And how he acclimates with the rest of his teammates, having not played in Spain, that's another thing I want to see tonight.
We're going to talk some more basketball next hour with Derek Piper, the best guy to have to do that. We'll also talk some more football. McLean Stahl is here from Game Day Spirit. Hey, we got more tickets tonight to give away. Also, there's a fan bus from Pia's tonight to going over to the State Farm Center at 7:30. We have Illinois-Wisconsin tickets and $25 gift cards to Game Day. So if you're here, make sure you sign up. If you're still driving around, we're going to be here another hour, so get over here. I also want to say thanks to Stephanie Fuller, Catherine Fuller from Diageo. They provide a lot of the liquor that we have here at Pia's, and that we always Twisted Tea tonight is the special. Also, Chuck Smith from Breakthrough. They have made all of this happen at Pia's, and of course, Eric and everyone here, they do a great job. All right, Kyle, take us to the top. We will be back next hour to talk more, including Hans D. Look out. It's The Drive.